What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Nightmares Podcast, where we talk about all things horror with people in the horror community, whether it be film, music, television, art, and in this case, podcasting. We've had a lot of podcasters because, you know, frankly, they're a lot of fun to talk to and they're really easy to talk to. We don't have to pull a lot out of them. So, and today we have, of course, my partner in crime, Mr. Zachary Smith.
What's up?
Rocking his Jaws t-shirt because it's you'll figure that out in just a second about why. And then we, of course, have Mr. Stephen Coates here, or Steve Coates, on the podcast. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us what you're all about.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, guys. As you said, my name is Steve Coates. I have a podcast of my own called Bucket of Chum, the Shark Movie Podcast. Basically, each week I talk about some weird, terrible, or just absolutely fantastic shark movie. I just break it down by plot, talk about what I like, what I didn't like, and that's pretty much it. That's what I do.
Dude, the one that caught me, dude, I think on TikTok was, I think you talking about House Shark. I think it was House Shark, and you were you were losing your shit about the dude having a PhD and not knowing that some lady was a cop.
That was Shark Lake.
Oh, yeah, Shark Lake. Yeah. Okay, Dolph Lundgren. Movie was so fucking annoying. It's not even funny. It just makes me mad because I want that concept to happen, but it's been done so shitty.
Right? That's why I was so mad when
and
I was watching it.
Dolph Lundgren! How do you fuck it up that bad? I think I've already accepted.
All I wanted was just to see Dolph Lundgren like with boxing gloves fighting a bull shark. That's all I wanted. I'm not asking for much.
It's right there. The concept was right there. And we didn't even get... Oh my fucking God, man.
He didn't even have like a grenade launcher, like nothing. He may as well have not been in the movie. It's a complete waste.
Exactly. It was so fucking depressing. It's God. Dude, I am going to have so much fun because I'm going to have to do so very little in this podcast. I'm just going to sit back and be like, I'm gonna watch these two bitch about Shark movies because there's way more bad than there is good. Way more bad than good, unfortunately. Which sometimes is a statement about horror in general, but we're definitely going to get into it. But before we do, I wanted to do our famous question that we always do, which was, when did horror enter your life?
Yeah, so for me, it was very early, and I think I remember Zach saying the same thing when he was around like 2 years old or so. Me, exact same thing. I've actually, behind me, I've got my top loader VHS player from like 1988. So I taught myself how to use that when I was like 2 years old. And one of the first movies I ever watched was House.
Nice.
And yeah, so I was obsessed with that movie when I was a kid. So I would watch it all the time. And then after that, it just kept growing exponentially. I have a love for all cinema basically, but I mean, horror is definitely like the top of the list for me.
Nice, nice. And then more importantly, when did sharks enter your life? When did shark movies enter your life?
Yeah, so I mean, I think for me, it's nothing special. It's Jaws, right? Like, it's, you know, everybody sees Jaws and, you know, that kind of hooks you into it. It's a fantastic movie. It actually scared me for a while when I was a kid. Like, I had fears of going into a fucking lake because I was scared that something was going to come and like fucking bite me, you know.
Even though that was a saltwater, you know, it's amazing like what it's amazing what a couple barrels and a good score by John Williams can do to you.
Yeah, exactly, right?
That would have movie would have been so different, man, if the fucking shark work. You know, is the great white turd, the crew so lovingly called it.
So true. I mean, that movie, it's kind of like Alien, right? Like, it doesn't show the creature for the longest time, and that really works to its benefit. I think that's why it works so well. I think those two movies are kind of comparable that way.
Perfect movie. Both Alien and Jaws. I often say too, a lot of people don't realize the story of making Jaws is almost as good of a story as the story itself.
Right?
Of all the shit that went down and everything else. We were telling a story the other day about the whole thing with the one ship that they used two ships on there, and one of them was supposed to sink, but there was one that wasn't supposed to sink, but that one ended up sinking, and yeah. and Steven Spielberg was on a bullhorn and everything else. Get the actors off the boat, and William Driver, and the guy with the sound department is like fuck the actors, save the sound department. and he had his like $80,000 Nagra tape recorder above his head.
That's just expensive, man.
Especially it was 1975, and he had an $80,000 in Nagra recording machine.
The actors can swim, the equipment can't.
That is true.
Exactly. Waterproof.
dude. And celluloid and salt water don't do well together.
Nope.
That's a big nope. Richard Dreyfuss was like he's 75 years old, Steven, get him off the boat. Yeah. Then he dropped it and everything else, and he just guess that's a wrap for sound.
MOS the rest of the fucking movie.
They almost lost a bunch of that in that accident, dude, because they actually a couple canisters of film went into the ocean, and they pulled it out right at the right time. They put it in fresh water and sent it up to New York, and they ended up saving the reels, but it was pretty close to not being salvageable. So we might have lost a huge portion of film off of Jaws just by that one accident alone.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine, like, if they couldn't have salvaged that, like, would it have been as big of a movie as it was, or would it have just been a flop, you know? Like, who knows? Like, it's pretty lucky that it turned out the way that it did.
Well, I mean, Steven, the whole movie, the story behind the scenes can all be summed up into one sentence by Steven Spielberg. I want to film on the Atlantic Ocean. But why? Because it looks better.
Okay.
Steven, it's water. Nobody's going to notice.
Of course, he pulls the fucking, like, Stanley Kubrick. I'll notice. Fuck you, Steven. Dude, that shot with the floating head was done in your editor's pool, and you poured milk into the son of a bitch to make it look more murky. So you could have done that on a lake, somewhere. I don't think we'd be talking about it. 50 years later, 60, whatever it is at this point, we wouldn't.
Yeah,
we wouldn't still be talking about the damn thing. This far out.
Yeah, and I mean, you always hear stories of filmmakers, and I mean, I've definitely experienced some myself where, like, everything can go right on a film set, but your movie can turn out like complete fucking shit, or everything can go completely wrong and you end up with a masterpiece, right? So you never really know what you're going to get.
Yep.
And also, too, is there's an old saying, you make your film three times. Once when you write it, once when you film it, and once when you edit it. So it goes through three different filters. So, you never know what you're really going to get at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so true.
And did I catch that right? Are you also a filmmaker as well? Or you've been involved in film?
Before, I went to film school, actually. I was there for 3 years. And then when I was living in Toronto at the time, and then I had like severe depression and anxiety. So I moved away from Toronto, and then I'm in Ottawa now, and there's not really much of a film scene. So I kind of just fell out of it. I still know a couple people. Like, I got a really good friend. His name's Benji Irwin. He's a cinematographer. He actually just did some cinematography for a Dead Space short fan film, which was really well done.
Very nice.
Yeah. It's on YouTube. It's called Rancid Cargo. I definitely recommend looking it up. It was pretty cool. And the main actor, I went to film school with him as well. So it was, it's pretty cool. So I think that's kind of another reason I got into podcasting, because I've always had such a love for cinema, right? So.
That's always awesome, man. That's awesome. It's funny that, you have certain films that inspire you. And I think that everybody with shark fandom definitely starts with Jaws. Although I think I saw Deep Blue Sea before I saw Jaws for the first time. Don't get me wrong. Like, no. And those are two entirely different movies. Both are extremely awesome in their own right. But one is awesome because it's awesome. The other one is awesome because it's fucking goofy. Smart sharks to cure Alzheimer's is quite a stretch. It's quite a stretch.
Yeah.
But So, you know, so as you gone along and you found a love for shark movies and everything else, like, it, you know, what have been some big surprises for you with discovering, you know, you discovered new shark movies? Is, you know, what's the appeal of keep coming back to shark movies for you?
Yeah, so I remember, I think when I first started film school, that's when I started first noticing some of the really weird shit. Definitely started with, like, The Asylum. So, like, Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, like, that sort of stuff. And I'm just like, man, that's just so fucking wild. And I always said to myself, like, even if I ended up making movies like that after I was done film school, as long as I was happy, I would have been fucking golden. Whereas, like, most other people, they're like, no, I want to be, like, the next Spielberg or... you know, whoever else, like some, you know, famous person. And I'm just like, I'd be happy making shit like that, man, as long as I'm having fun. So that definitely The Asylum, the king of mockbusters, definitely got me started into it. And then it wasn't until like probably 2018 or so when House Shark came out, it kind of reignited my love for all this weird shark movie shit and kind of took me down a rabbit hole of even like more and more bizarre stuff. And it's just like, how many ideas do you think you can come up with a shark? Apparently a fucking lot.
As long as you put water in front of or behind the title, yeah, you can make it into a shark movie. Red water, blood water, dead water, zombie water. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Any kind of concept you can think of, you can put a shark in there and like, bam, you got a movie.
It's so funny. Like, you know, I why do you think that is? Like, I've always been curious to, like, get into a topic of, like, you know, even slashers had their limit. Like, but it seems that, like, shark movies don't have – the limit does not exist. So I'm very curious, like, why it keeps coming back to that. Because, like, there's just a plethora of – like, it's almost like there was no end.
Yeah, I think part of it is definitely – like, as much as some people want to make the next Jaws – you can't. It can't be done. It's not going to be done. There's movies that can come close. Like, there's definitely more Hollywood movies that I enjoy. Not as much as Jaws, but they're still very well done. But I think with a lot of these movies, they know exactly what they're doing. They know that, like, trying to make a shark movie could end up ridiculous, so they just embrace it. They're just, like, balls to the wall. Just, like, fuck it, you know? So, and, like, with slashers and everything, like, that's probably one of my favorite genres. Friday the 13th being my absolute favorite, and even with that, you know, like, yes, there's limits, there's only so much you can do before, you know, people are like, well, this is just stupid and ridiculous.
Space is when it ends. When they
eventually... Oh no, Mark, we got sharks in space. Oh. And it's with Russians this time.
So there's that movie on Tubi, Shark Side of the Moon.
Yep.
And there's also another one, Shark Encounters of the Third Kind or something like that.
Fuck me. I didn't hear about that one.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. I'll be covering it at some point. I mean, how can I not?
No, right? No, add that to the list. God damn it.
Yeah.
All right. So you watched Shark Side of the Moon all the way through?
I haven't seen it yet, actually.
Oh, okay. I got 75% of the way through it and went, done. I was mad. That's the thing with a lot of the modern shark movies, like back in like the early 2000s and 90s, I feel like they at least tried to make something entertaining. Now it's just this ridiculous cheese fest that I'm like, Jesus fucking
we
Christ.
Already got your money. I
really wanted that movie to be, because like I some of the shark designs, I'm like, that's really fucking cool. And then it's just this bad, like, blood gore effects that shit, and I'm like, and it fucking sucks.
Yeah, I think you're right about the early 2000s, too, because the movie I just did for this week was Red Water with Blue Diamond Phillips, Christy Swanson, and Coolio. And it was my first time watching it, actually, and I was like, oh, wow, they actually, like, tried to make, like, a pretty competent movie. And like for a TV movie, I was actually pretty impressed with what they were able to accomplish.
They were
definitely trying there.
Yeah, Red Water is one of the solid ones. It's not one of the best ones, but it's definitely a solid one. Yeah, anything between I would say 95 and maybe around between 2005 and 2010-ish, they actually gave a damn and they wanted to make at least a decent movie. Like, it wasn't this over the top bad, really bad CGI, just like cheesy, ridiculous asylum-like movie. They actually wanted to try to make good movies. Have you seen Megalodon, the submarine one?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think of that one? I kind of put that one as kind of like, I tend to enjoy, that one was my first Megalodon movie, so that one kind of has a special place in my heart. But what did you think of that one?
Yeah, I mean, that's the one with Michael Madsen, I think, right?
I think that's his name. I don't know. It was so at the beginning of the movie, he's a kid and he's out in like the middle of the ocean with his family, and a Megalodon destroys the boat and he's out adrift. Fast forward, like, I don't know, 20 years later, he's like a scientist. He built this submarine. He's teaching in a class. And I guess this undersea station got destroyed, so he has to go down there and see what the fuck's going on. And then it's just the fight between this giant sub and this Megalodon shark.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, those ones like that, very, I don't want to say middle of the road, because, like, I still really, really enjoy them. But it's not like the most batshit crazy.
Yeah.
I would put up with the shit that I've seen so far, at least. Oh, yeah. But it's definitely enjoyable. Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong.
Agreed. Versus today's what Piranaconda versus Sharktopus.
Oh my god! So Sharktopus. So it's even worse than that. So it's Sharktopus versus Terracuda.
No, that's it.
Yeah, so it's a pterodactyl and a barracuda crossed together, because, you know, why the fuck not?
Even the old, like, Japanese guys who did Godzilla would be like, you're going too far. You went way too far. Like, we stop here. You go that way. You go real far that way.
At least Toho uses suits. Like, they tried.
Yeah. And then the one after that, or it may have been before, is Sharktopus versus Whale Wolf.
Oh, for the love of fuck me.
Fuck me.
Yeah, a whale and a wolf. They're like, hey, those both start with W, so that could be something. Yeah, okay. Why not?
It's just like, what the fuck? Like, are they just all, like, drunk off their ass and, like, doing blow and, like, you know, like... Like, fuck, I know it's a good idea for a movie. And then some idiot, like, also does that same line and says, I'll give you money for that. You go, oh, Jesus.
I'm in the wrong goddamn fucking industry or something. Not even industry, just the wrong genre. I just need to make shitty shark movies. I can do this for years.
Yeah. I mean, you could, like, you just put any idea in front of shark and then bam, you have a movie. And it doesn't even really need to be competent, because a few of the ones that I've watched, like Shark Exorcist, one of the worst goddamn things I've ever seen. And there's a fucking 10 minute after credit scene, which, like, makes zero fucking sense. And apparently we're getting a sequel to it this year, so I'm going to have to subject myself to that at some point. Yeah, Shark Exorcist 2, because you know how you had all those unanswered questions in Shark Exorcist?
No!
Maybe they'll actually answer them, and, like, maybe they'll actually tell me what was happening in that movie, because I still can't tell you, and I've watched it 2 or 3 times.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry!
Dude, I gotta ask, because I'm really, really fucking curious. We were talking about this recently. Actually, we had cigars the other night, and we were bullshitting about this, because one of our dear friends does a lot of, you know, like, movie nights and everything else, and he brought over Dick Shark.
He didn't bring over Dick Shark. He just told me about it, and my dumb ass went, well, it's a shark movie. I gotta watch it. I hate him for it.
I want to hear the hot take on that.
I haven't subjected myself to it. I actually looked it up last night because I remembered it for some reason, because that's how my brain works when I'm getting stoned. I'm like, yeah, Dick Shark. Yeah, let's talk about that. And I think I looked up the runtime, and it's like fucking 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Oh, fuck, dude. That's a lot of Dick Shark.
Man, and I'm pretty sure it's from that filmmaker Bill Zabub, I think his name is.
Sure.
If you haven't heard of him, you need to look up his filmography. It is Ant Farm Dickhole was another movie that he did. Yeah, that's the title of a real movie that he did.
Ant Farm Dickhole.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
All right.
Good.
Yeah.
This is where we're at.
From what I remember, the plot of it is, there's a kid, like a teenager or some guy, who's getting bullied, and then these ants crawl into his dick hole, and then they will come out to defend him. But apparently it's not like as cool as that sounds, because that sounds like fucking like entertaining as fuck. Yeah. But apparently, like, it's, I don't know, apparently his movies are super fucking bad. But one of these days I am going to have to subject myself
if they all they have to do is like make one He-Man joke, and then I would be in, like, you know, just whips out his dick like, I have the power.
Mark, it's already that's more entertaining than what the movie probably actually
probably.
Yeah, when you subject yourself to Dick Shark, either have liquor or whatever your substance choice is on standby. You're gonna need it.
All right, I have a question for both of you. Biggest shark movie regret?
Other than Dick Sharks, Sky Sharks. No, not Sky Sharks, not anymore. It was that one, when we did the Japanese movie with movie night with Lawn or whatever.
I forgot the name of it.
It's Jaws of Japan or something like that. Have you heard of that one?
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, it has three different names, and I guess there's this ghost shark that haunts the Jaws of Japan that these two dudes randomly sacrifice Japanese women to. You don't see the shark till the end of the movie. It does a fucking launch into the air and crash onto land with no question. I don't even know how to explain the movie. It's so confusing, and it's a found footage movie too on top of it all, so it's even worse. There's no nudity. There's a few bras and bikinis and stuff like that, but it's not enough to save the movie. It's just bad.
See, I hear that, and like my curiosity just like peaks more and more.
That's the fucked up part about it. That's how that works. Yeah. You hear how bad it is, you're like, I have to watch it. Then you watch it and you
have to see.
Don't do it.
I have to see what's going on. How about for you, Steve?
Ah, man, biggest regret. I mean, I think maybe Shark Exorcist has to be one of them at least. Actually, and also there was another movie called Bull Shark. And it was just boring. But I think Shark Exorcist has got to be my biggest regret.
Was Bull Shark a made-for-TV one? The where the shark is in fresh water?
Well, so that's what Redwater's about. That's what Shark Lake is about. And that's what Bull Shark is about.
Bull Shark. I specifically remember Bull Shark.
That one, I probably have seen that one. But which one was that one?
That was one where they would say that it's not a shark because it's fresh water like every other minute. They literally would convince all their friends like it's not a shark and everything else. It's fresh water.
Hard to even describe how it's different from Red Water or Shark Lake, because it's basically the same thing. Like they're like, oh man, there's a bull shark in this lake. What are we gonna do? Stuff maybe, and like you don't see the shark for most of the movie. I just remember being like fucking bored. I'm just like, god damn, dude, like. Like, show me tits or blood or something, like anything.
Want something to happen, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please.
But no, I think Shark Exorcist has to be like one of my biggest regrets, just because, like, again, I've said this on my podcast before. I'm pretty reasonable with my expectations from these movies. I'm not expecting Jaws. I'm not expecting Deep Blue Sea. But like when you put Shark Exorcist into something, I'm expecting at least like an exorcism of a shark or something. We hardly even got that. We got like a couple of cool scenes, maybe towards the end with some like just nonsense, but that was it. Otherwise, it was just like nothing happens. And then there's like a couple of scenes with a shark. And then there's a 10-minute fucking after credit scene in an aquarium with a girl who's like sexually touching shark plushies. And like, this is supposed to connect to the movie somehow. And I'm just like, what is happening right now? What is going on?
I had some fun for just a second, because like I think I'm just gonna spend the whole podcast being a shit stirrer here. I pulled up a top 10 list of like the worst shark movies, and caught my eye that you, actually either one of you might even not even know, because it was straight to video. It was called Snow Shark, Ancient Snow Beast.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that one yet. I think I've heard of it, but I don't think I've seen it.
I've seen the one where the sharks are part of avalanches.
Avalanche shark is another one.
Okay, it's its own thing. Just make it sure.
I do remember there's two different snow shark movies of some sort. So yeah.
All right. What's the hot take on avalanche shark?
It's been a while since I've seen that one. From what I remember, really fucking stupid, but. Oh, yeah. I think it was enjoyable from what, at least from what I remember. Like I said, I can't even remember a lot about it, just kind of my general feelings about it. But I think I kind of enjoyed it for what it was, for the most part.
Zach, did you ever see it?
Oh, yeah.
It
was stupid.
Yeah.
There you go. I think I imagine most of these. The one that really caught my eye for like for crazy titles was Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus.
The Asylum.
Yep. It's in those lines of the Sharktopus versus. There's so many of those. I would say there's at least anywhere between 5 to 7 of those. I would say.
Yeah, Mega Shark. More than likely. Mega Shark versus giant octopus. Sharkopus. The Dino Shark. The Shark Knight. Jurassic Shark.
Are the headed sharks on there? You got 2-headed shark, 3-headed shark, 4-headed shark, 5-headed shark, 6-headed shark. And I think they did a 7-headed shark recently. Don't know 100%, but just every new movie, they add another head.
There's 2, 3, 5, and 6. And then I think there's been talks about a 7th one. I don't know if they've done it or not, because there seems to be a lot of rumors. And I'm hoping for it, but I'm like, how many fucking heads can you add to this shark? Like, even in the 5th one, so it starts off with 4 heads, because you're probably thinking to yourself, man, why didn't they make a 4-headed shark attack? Well, they start off 5-headed shark attack with 4 heads, but then its tail gets cut off and a head grows out of it, so we get 5 heads on this fucking shark.
it's the shark equivalent of that one Greek, what is it, the Hydra?
Hydra.
Hydra in shark form.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
God damn it.
And then you got Shark Swarm and Shark in Venice.
Oh, Sharks in Venice is coming up on the podcast soon. I haven't seen it yet, but I mean, with that title, I'm kind of excited.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. I think I've heard of it, but I haven't seen that one yet.
So you know what the one that got me curious though about it is was House Shark. I saw it on your TikTok. I wanted to get both of your takes on that.
So when I first saw it, I kind of had like mixed feelings about it, because it had been a while since I had seen like an absolute like bonkers like B movie or like B shark movie for that matter. So it kind of caught me off guard. But then on the second rewatch, when I did it for the podcast, I was like, this was fucking great. It's too long, in my opinion. If they had shortened it and tightened it a little bit, it could be so much better. But I think overall, just like the concept and execution, it just seems like everybody was having such a fun time doing that movie that it kind of makes me like, yeah, I'm having fun too, because they're having fun.
How about you, Zach? Did you see that yet?
I didn't care for it. So my problem is because I grew up in the time where they actually made shark movies, where they actually tried to make them at least decent. I see all these movies and it's the same shit. And I'm like, I just don't care. I want you to put a little, like, if a shark movie puts a little effort into it, that goes such a long way for me these days.
I saw it on Halloween, and like, I think a lot of people don't they underappreciate how hilarious it is, because the sequel is even crazier, and Zach will get into it in just a second, is the first one of 47 Meters Down. I laugh so hard. I was like, this is the stupid. She fucking like hallucinates like about being off the boat, and then she's still underwater. I'm like, what fucking planet are we on, and what physics are we using? Like, this is like so laughably blat. And I know, like, I was supposed to care about these two girls, but I was like, I don't give a flying fuck. And then Zach gave me the description of the sequel, and he told me the craziness of what was going on in the sequel. And I couldn't fucking believe some of the shit of how crazy it got. Zach, you remember that?
Yeah. All right. So first things first, let's talk about the first one for a second, because I think I have a few things to say about that. One, the main reason I was upset about that movie is because that could have been a legit great horror movie and a great shark movie. But you lost me for a few reasons. One, you see the boat, you see the cage, and your immediate reaction should be, I'm not getting on that thing. That thing looks like it's ready to snap, and these guys look sketchy. No. Second thing, every time these girls are scared, it sounds like they're having an orgasm.
Yeah, that was what I forgot. That's the reason why I was laughing my ass off. Oh my God, I now remember. It was so fucking, that was the reason why I was dying and everything else. They'd be like, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on down there?
Oh, I'm so scared.
The I think scared means something different for you.
The safe word is pineapple juice.
Those are the girl, like, dude, can you, hold on, let's imagine, like, by the way, like, let's imagine if the ending was that was their fetish.
I mean, you know what? At least that would have been a little bit more interesting. Same. I mean, fuck, right? Like, I would almost been like, yeah, okay, you got me. All right.
I would have stood up
and went, you know what? You got me. Round of applause, yeah. Everyone. Like, five of us in the theater just like, yep, that was worth it.
If 47 meters down, when you've reached the end of Pornhub and it isn't enough. I mean, that would have been fucking wild. Just like, you know, it turns out they're a lesbian couple and, like, that's how they get their rocks off. Thinking about, like, you know, having fucking the bends and, like, having a bunch of sharks around them. And everything else, like, oh, salt water.
salt water.
I totally forgot. Like, I knew it was fine, but I as soon as you said it, dude, I immediately remembered why it was so fucking funny. Because I think funny enough, I was watching on Halloween and I was a little toasted. And it was the first night I was ever, like, you know, I usually have shit going on. It was a rare Halloween for me to actually be, you know, by myself doing something because I always have shit going on. And I was watching this, and I swear to God, my roommate walked in, like, when one of the sharks came up, and, like, she got a big orgasmic, like, scream. It was like, ah! And, like, my roommate, like walked in, and, like, he paused with the keys in the door. And he's like, am I okay to come in? You got your pants on?
Awkward.
I was like, no, dude, I'm watching a really fucking stupid movie. And then he came in and watched, and he's like, yes, sir, I concur. This is in fact a stupid movie, and yes, they do sound like orgasmic. And we should really turn this off before our third roommate comes in and thinks that we're watching porn together. And then Zach told me about the sequel, and then, like, I couldn't fucking believe some of the shit. Especially the one thing, which I know you're going to mention, but go ahead, Zach.
So I love the sequel just way more because it's absurd in the best ways possible. And the movie starts off the movie starts with a fish screaming at these girls and scaring the shit out of them, causing an entire ancient temple to collapse.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck?
So fucking stupid. Oh my God. And, like, they actually could have made, like, something decent with this movie.
Yeah,
like they actually had, like, when I first heard the plot of it, like, when I first of all I heard, I'm like, oh, they're making a sequel to 47 meters down, and originally it was going under the title 48 meters down, and I'm like, okay, sure, I'm like, I guess that extra meter is really fucking dangerous. But, like, even hearing the, like, plot is like, oh yeah, you know, this, like, shark's kind of been trapped in this area, I'm like, oh, that sounds kind of cool. And then, like, I watched it and I'm just like, this is fucking stupid. Like, how did you fuck this up? Like, you almost had it with 47 meters down. Like, you were this close to having a good movie. You would think you would have learned the lesson. No, you fucked it up even more. Like,
So apparently the movie was actually supposed to be titled something different, but because they weren't sure it was going to sell or whatever, they decided to throw the 47. Another fun fact, Sylvester Stallone's daughter's in this movie. So that's another reason I had slightly more hope. I'm like, oh, you got a somewhat A-list actor's. All right, let's see. Nope.
It's like having Michael Jordan's kid on your team. It might not work out the way you think it's going to work out. I mean, if you had a more serious plot and your girls didn't sound like they were, you know, that they were close to climax, yeah, it probably would have been a better fucking movie. They just so funny too, like, you know, I was just perusing IMDb and just the ratings, and it's so funny how like quickly it drops off a fucking cliff with the list of like shark movies. So we obviously
let's see, you got Jaws 2
on there, which is
how
interesting.
How is that so highly rated?
I mean, because
the Shallows, are you serious? Okay, good. The Reef is on there. Good.
Yeah, The Reef is on here. Then Open Water, which I think is a great, I really enjoy it. I think it's a very small shark movie, but I think it's a really good one.
No, The Reef is definitely, I'm sorry, Open Water is definitely a solid movie.
The,
you know, Open Water and The Reef are both like pretty solid, like good shark movies, where they actually tried to make something good and accomplished making something good.
And I love it too that like Deep Blue Sea is number 10 in here at 5.9, and then it drops off
number 10. Yeah, what the hell's before that?
It drops off a fucking,
wait, what's number 9?
The Bait. The I'm not familiar with Bait.
Never heard of Bait.
The
actually that one's not bad, actually. Bait,
really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it was around like 2007 2008 it came out.
12.
And I think it, oh, really?
Yeah, 12. Yeah.
Let me see.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of a different movie.
Oh, this is the one where they're inside the mall, the shopping
center. Oh, the
center
mall, the
girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't. That was one I didn't hate. It wasn't amazing by any means, but it was. It's pretty watchable.
It's definitely. Yeah, it's watchable.
And I just love it too. Like on here, it's like Deep Blue Sea, like at like 5.9, and then like Ghost Shark 3.3 just drops off a fucking cliff. And I fucking love Deep Blue Sea. I think it's an absolute blast. Is it stupid and cheesy? Fuck yeah, it's stupid and cheesy.
Yeah.
And also, but it also has one of the most surprising deaths in any movie. Like,
oh man, so good. Like, and that speech was so good too, and then it just like fucking
shark's like, fuck your speech. The and then also, you know, LL Cool J blowing up his own kitchen because the shark ate his bird. It still is one of my favorite things though about like, you know, the girl giving Samuel Jackson the tour and everything else is like there's our, you know, it's Thomas Jane, and there's one of our smartest scientists. He's like, how fucking smart can he be? He's pissing into the wind.
That's so good.
Oh my god, you know, so you made the fucking shark smarter. That's real good. That's real fucking smart. I gotta solve them Alzheimer's, man. With those, you know, really super duper smart sharks. Still very proud to say that that's probably one of the very few movies that a black guy survived a horror movie.
Right? Yeah, like that is actually kind of big in itself if you think about it. Even like late 90s, like making it all the way to the end, like fuck yeah, dude.
And I'm pretty sure LL Cool J like wrote that in his contract though, like, you're not gonna kill me, like I am gonna survive this.
Dude, you were rooting for him the entire movie.
You really were, because he's the best character in the whole movie. Like, you know, like you wanted him to get there, and he fucking has a cross and everything else.
He stabs a Mako in the eyes like, fuck you. Fucking what's his name is battling with the shark as he's laying on the ground. He opens his eyes like, yo, what's going on?
The I had a couple friends in high school, like, and one kid was like, a black guy, he's like that's the most hood shit I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, right.
To stab a goddamn shark in the eye with a fucking huge fucking silver cross that's blinged out, fucking stabbing in the eye. I'm making it to the end of credits. Oh my god, I do love that movie so much. When it comes to like quality, you know, like we can talk about for days of like really super bad horror movies, shark movies. And trust me, I'm sure that there's a few in there that I missed that I would love to talk about. But, you know, when it comes to like, you know, quality, let's put Jaws off to the side for a second. Jaws is not only the best shark movie ever, it's one of the best movies ever. But when it comes to like, you know, really good quality, you know, shark movies, they're far and few between, unfortunately. But what are some of you guys' favorites of it, and why? About quality shark movies.
So I think, like we mentioned earlier, like The Reef and Open Water, those ones especially, and I think you can even say the same thing about Jaws, is that there's like a sense of realism to it. So like the danger feels real. you kind of connect more with the characters, because like in a lot of the shittier movies, like you're not connecting with these characters. Like you just want to see how they're gonna die. It's like watching a Saw movie, right? Like I don't care about their backstories or anything. I just want to see how fucked up their death is gonna be. That's it. But like when you're talking about like quality, I want to care about those characters. I want, if when they're in danger, I want to feel bad for them and I want to sense that danger. So I think that's something that, you know, the shitty movies don't do, but the really good ones do, and they do it well. Even movies like Bait, you know, it's very middle of the road, but it's still, it's more towards the good side of a shark movie than it is more towards the bad side, because it felt like they actually tried to make something good. So I think effort plays a big part in it too.
It does. It absolutely yeah. does.
The how about you, Zach?
So realistically, the movies that actually put in effort and add like a sense of realism to it. So off the top of my head, like my favorite shark movies, there's Jaws. There's, I think it's either 12 Days of Terror or 13 Days of Terror. The Reef. And one that I recently added to the list because I saw this within the past year. USS Indianapolis with Nicolas Cage. It is a solid World War II movie that actually covers the events of the USS Indianapolis. And it's half shark movie, half World War II movie, politics and all that. But it's done very well, professional. I don't know how this movie got zero attention. I just saw it on Tubi one day and I was like, oh, well, fuck it, let me give this a shot. Fucking fantastic movie. I actually ended up loving it. I think somebody could do a slightly better job and focus a little bit more on the shark aspect and survival aspect. But overall, great fucking movie.
Yeah. I've been very curious about that one because, yeah, like the whole shark aspect. And I've even heard people throw out the idea of doing like a Jaws prequel where you show Quint surviving that kind of thing. I think that could be kind of cool, actually. I don't think they should do it, but I think it would be cool.
I think that is the only shark movie that they could do that could compare to Jaws specifically for that reason. It is the only one that stands even a chance. Every other shark movie you do, there's just no chance. But because of how well that speech was in Jaws, I think if you were to do that movie and do it very well, that's going up there with Jaws. Big if.
I think something interesting though too is it's not necessarily shark related, but it is connected to Jaws. An excellent prequel would actually be a Brody prequel. Because I would love to understand why how he became aquaphobic, and why he doesn't like water, and like what happened in New York, and why he wanted to move away. Because I know because he was a cop in New York, and it was a really really fucked up time because it was the 70s and like crime was out of control, and like I would have loved to have seen a prequel of his story and how he came to be the person that he was that moved out to Amityville, it would have been cool to see that side of it just the same.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he ran into Travis Bickle and was just like, fuck this guy's got New York, I'm out.
Yeah, fuck, you're probably not joking. No, there's a crossover. this guy's gonna try to kill a senator one day. I think the one thing that's always connected to shark movies that I always love to talk is like the creature features. Like, as you guys were talking, I've not seen as many shark movies as both of you. But like, I often go back to like the really, really good like creature features. Like one I enjoyed immensely was Deep Rising, the giant octopus movie. Like I actually watched that with my family. Like, and I loved like figuring out like, you would, especially the beginning when you see that girl get sucked inside of that fucking toilet and like you're trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. It was a really, really good B movie. And you had Benny from The Mummy in there too, which is cool. Because I know it's the same director. It's the same director from The Mummy and Deep Rising.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, it's always cool to see movies like that and creature features.
Yeah, Deep Rising was a really good one. It reminded me that part, especially that opening part. It reminded me of an episode of The X-Files where they go down to Florida during a hurricane. And there's like a sea creature traveling through the water system. But it can basically like control the water, I guess, almost like the Abyss, but it takes on like a more octopus like feature. So it's a really cool episode. So when you're talking about like aquatic things like that, the Deep Rising part makes me think of that episode. Pretty cool episode too.
Oh yeah, Zach, did you check? Did you ever see Deep Rising?
Oh yeah, dude, we talked about it. I fucking love that movie.
Yeah, dude, it's a fucking wild movie. The and also too is the one I really dug. Speaking of hurricanes in Florida and shit, the I believe it was what the fuck was the alligator movie that just came
Crawl?
Out?
Crawl.
I thought that was great. That was a great. I was like, I have family in Florida. I know alligators. Alligators don't behave like that. But actually, you know what? The hurricane was the biggest problem in that story. The wasn't even the alligator. But I thought that was an excellent creature movie, and I was immensely entertained. I just wish they would make more of those.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that in theaters with a buddy of mine, Jordan, and like we loved it. The only part I didn't like was the ending, like where they're on the roof and they're like waving at the helicopter and it's like freeze frame. I'm like, okay, it's not the 80s anymore. We don't need to end movies on a freeze frame. Like, we're good. But other than that, like the rest of the movie, fucking solid. Like it was just entertaining. It was good. I cared about the characters. So like when she's in danger, I'm concerned. Like, yeah, that was really well done. Another one that was well done that came out recently, it is more of a B movie, but kind of fits in with the creature feature, was called Crabs.
Crabs? No, never saw Crabs. I haven't heard of that one. No, I haven't heard of that one at all.
I highly recommend it. It's incredible. Basically, little crabs come eat people, and then there's like a giant crab that comes at the end. And basically, at the end of the movie, there's a kid in a giant mecha shark suit fighting the giant crab, and it's incredible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know if you guys have heard of a band called the Killjoys. They were like a punk band from like the 90s, I think. They're Canadian, so they might not.
I vaguely remember them. Vaguely.
So one of the guys from the band, Mike Troublecock, did the score for that movie, and it's really good. I got the Blu-ray, and it came with the score attached to it, and it's incredible.
Nice, nice. He's pulling not a Tim Burton, but who's his composer? Who's the composer for all of Tim Burton's movies?
Oh, Danny Elfman.
Yeah, Danny Elfman pulling Danny Elfman. You know, fresh off of Oingo Boingo.
Oingo Boingo. Yeah.
I fucking love that. It's kind of funny because a lot of those creature features, come from, obviously Godzilla origins. I'm imagining that you're a pretty big Godzilla fan as well.
Oh yeah, I love Godzilla.
Especially
like the older ones for sure. Like the new ones are great too, don't get me wrong, but like I do enjoy like some of the cheesier older ones as well.
What era would you say is your favorite, Showa era or Heisei?
Probably Showa. I would say.
Nice.
How about yourself, Zach? I know you always have a lot of opinions about Godzilla. You're
my favorite era is the Heisei era. Godzilla versus Mecha Godzilla 2 was my favorite Godzilla movie of all time. I fucking love that movie. Godzilla is my Mecha Godzilla is my favorite villain. I would say second place. Who the hell would I put in second place? I don't know. I gotta think on that.
while you think about that, we can get Steve's hot take on that. We can get your hot take on some of these Godzilla films, your favorite Godzilla films.
Oh yeah,
I mean, I think my favorite's the original, like from 1954. That one was just, it felt like it was a really well done movie, and it wasn't going more into like the cheesier side of things, but yeah, the first one is just fucking classic. You really can't go wrong with that one. And then, of course, like the newer ones, too. I enjoy those ones, like Kong, Skull Island, and King of Monsters, and whatever. Those have been pretty enjoyable, too. Again, like, I don't take them too seriously, because, like, how can you?
But, exactly.
I mean, yeah, no, they're well done, and I really enjoy them. Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with any Godzilla movie.
Nah.
1998 being the exception, but that was a good dinosaur movie, but it wasn't a Godzilla movie.
Realistically, if they didn't call that movie Godzilla, it would have been a much more enjoyable movie. But you lied to us, and we were angry.
Exactly.
You had your fucking Godzilla kids running around there, and you know, Matthew Broderick with a really Greek name for some reason. Let's make a really like awkward joke about how he has a Greek name for like
what was
an
his name
hour.
Stephanopoulos or something
Stephanopoulos,
like that.
But nobody can pronounce it correctly. Stephanopoulos. We get it. He's Greek. Like, And Hank Azaris is there for some reason, and in a bunch of interviews, he thought, I thought that was going to be a great career move.
Oops.
Yeah. And then now you, everybody is, forgotten about your great performance in The Birdcage, and everybody's just thinking about how shitty Godzilla was.
I really need to watch that goddamn movie.
Dude, The Birdcage is great, dude. It's a really, really funny fucking movie, and a good movie, too. Nathan Lane's outrageous. Godzilla 1998. It also epitomized everything, and just I'm not this normally this critical about it. It epitomized everything of corporate late 90s movie making. It's all about selling Pepsi, and P. Diddy was there, and it was such a 1998 movie. How big can we make this fucking shit?
Oh man, all the branding and everything, the fucking Taco Bell commercials. Jesus Christ. Yo quiero Taco Bell.
Yeah,
the fucking dog.
Yeah,
Toquero. I miss those days. Such simpler times.
The good old days.
Now introducing Godzilla toys at Burger King. You'll face the Godzilla as he destroys through New York City. The $2.99 with a Whopper and a small medium drink. Oh my god, dude, fucking advertisement in movies in the late 90s was so, at least I like to say they calmed down a little bit in the 2000s, but late 90s were in their own different field of advertisement with movies.
Oh yeah, anything that came out, they branded it with something big, and you would see commercials for it everywhere. I mean, I guess now kind of the difference is with streaming and everything, you're not really getting all the same commercials. So maybe we just aren't exposed to it as much, but it definitely feels like in the 90s, they were just Godzilla, you want a fucking table with Godzilla on it? Bam, Godzilla table. We got you.
Godzilla
just fucking
sheets.
Throw it on anything.
I remember somebody cracked a joke about fucking Batman Forever, and literally the opening scene where he, pack you a sandwich, son. He's like, I'll get drive-thru. It's this was literally, that line was designed for a Burger King commercial.
100%.
The new Batman Whopper. Now grilled this dark as Batman. It's just so fucking funny. Dude, I think Mountain Dew 2 made a huge push with Godzilla, that 1998's Godzilla.
Sounds right.
It was just it was one of those things that at the end of the day, the movie was just, it just didn't make any sense. It was just such a strange movie that we have to trick Godzilla into eating a bunch of fish, but then we got to open up the manhole covers to get them to smell. And then they have kids, and the kids have taken over that, the Madison Square Garden. And then let's make a bunch of jokes about the Knicks. What the fuck is this movie about? And then Leon, the professional's there. And he works for the French government. And for whatever reason, the French government's involved in this. There's absolutely no reason why the French government would be involved in this. If it was the Japanese government, and that's where Godzilla came from, I'd be okay, that makes sense. But the French government is involved in this situation. Why the fuck is the French CIA involved with Godzilla? Does anybody have a good answer for me? Because I ain't got nothing.
Maybe they were concerned about the Statue of Liberty because it was a gift and they're just looking out for it. That's all I got.
Dude, at what point do you get, you gave that gift 100 years ago, 200, 300 years ago. Eventually you got to let it go, bro. It's not even the original paint job. I don't even know what the fuck are you so concerned about? And then let's make an awkward joke about how he gets a bagel and he's no croissant. Everything he says is so French. They literally turned him and he's say the most French shit you could possibly say.
Make a commentary on the coffee and shit. You call this coffee?
Yeah, we do.
cream.
Yeah, we do. You fuckhead. And then all of his guys, you know, like, I mean, how many, like, you know what? I call bullshit that you got that many fucking Uzis into New York. You guys were loaded to bear running around like fucking French commandos. And I'm like, again, why are you here?
Yeah.
I'm just so confused. I don't know why you're involved.
Yeah, it's so weird because it's not even like they're an ally. They're not even like a not friendly country. So why the fuck are they sneaking shit in? Like, it makes absolutely no sense. Like
I think that the producers,
mind boggling.
I think that one of the producers was French, and he's like, he wanted to make the, because like they're the ones who saved the day at the end. Like, you know, like, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I love seeing Leon the Professional be like badass. And like, there's there's a whole like scene at the very end where they're all the fucking kids, like the Godzilla kids, dinosaurs, basically dinosaurs with square heads. They're like, how do we get this as close to raptors without being sued? And then like, they're all there. And then like and Matthew Rock's like, there's no way out. And he's like, there is always a way out. And then he shoots the fucking chandelier. he unloads on this fucking chandelier. Instead of unloading on the dinosaurs, he unloads on the chandelier. It's like I wanted them to turn like a cut line, was like, now I'm out of ammo. Now we run.
Oh man, I haven't seen that movie in so long. I might need to revisit it just so I can shit on it some more.
Dude, by the way, if you ever want a guest on your podcast to come on and shit on Godzilla, I'll do it with you, man. Like, because that's a lot of fun. It's funny. Like, you know, like you it, for every one, you know, it's like almost like for like, you know, like it, for every Godzilla, you know, like with creature features, I think it's shark movies, it's like 1 to 10, but like creature features, I think you get a lot more 1 to 1 or 1 to 2. Like, you know, I mean, you know, obviously you got Godzilla in 1998, but then you have Jurassic Park, which is a fantastic, I mean, it is a monster movie. Like, I mean, it's the best quality of monster movies, but it's a fucking dope movie.
Yeah, 100%. Jurassic Park was fucking incredible. And I think the thing with like shark movies is, compared to just regular creature features, is that when people go to make a shark movie, like, they've kind of put themselves in a box. Like, okay, it's a shark movie. Like, 90% of the time, we got to be near water.
True.
90% of the time. But sometimes you don't. Well, we got sky sharks, land shark I did for like my second episode. This movie right here, Jaws of the Shark, that is a shark with a chainsaw.
Hold up. Please tell me that's good.
Okay.
Damn it.
See what had happened was.
So it's a Swedish movie.
Okay.
Made in 2012. It looks like it was probably filmed on a video camera. Mm. So just prepare yourself for that. But it's a guy just in a shark suit, a very shitty shark suit, and running around with this chainsaw. And the girl who's like the main character also plays her sister in the movie. They're not twins or anything. She just plays the other character, and I don't know why, because they share scenes together, and whenever they do, they're either not on camera on the same time, or when they are, one of them's like a dummy or something that they just threw a wig on. And yeah, so it's like, it's batshit. Like, it's crazy. And there's one scene in the movie where she pulls out the biggest fucking rifle I have ever seen in my entire life. And she shoots this fucking shark. It goes through the shark. It goes through this cabin. And then we cut to this fucking like plastic farm toy cow set. And then the cow just like breaks in two, implying that this bullet flew through all this, went to a field, and just like decimated a fucking cow. And that's how they did it.
Oh my God. There's an amazing movie that's a parody movie. It's called Johnny Dangerously. It makes fun of all of like the old gangster movies. And Joe Piscopo, who was a writer on SNL, was in that movie. He plays a villain. And like, and he has like a gun. It's like, it's a 92 Magnum. They got, it goes through you. It goes through the wall behind you. It goes through the factory. It goes through the school with the children inside. It just goes. Dude, yeah. Dude, or that fucking like Elma, you know, that like that, that Elma, that Bill Burr joke and everything else. It's like, I don't want a 42 Magnum and everything else. That dude would go, through the intruder and everything else through my fucking dog's head and drop the engine out of my fucking car. I don't want to deal with that.
You need a shotgun. It's got a good spread.
A good spread. The fuck does that mean? I do know that. Like, I want to just take out the fucking intruder and everything else. I don't want to start doing drywall.
I don't want to do renovations. Fuck.
Oh my god, that's so fucking great, dude. I mean, there's just some. I guess there is a lot of appealingness, and that's a new word, of just bad movies, and then sharks movies have a plethora of them. I think that they're just enjoyable to fucking talk about, and there's such a demand for them. And I think that's really my take on why these bad shark movies keep getting made, because people love them. Sharknado proved that. Like, you know, Sharknado went out to make a shit movie. Like, they went out to be like, we are making a bunch of movies. Like, and we know it. The you know, and that, you know, and then we're gonna have that one dumb chick that did a nip slip that was an American Pie. The was it Tara Reid? That's her name. We're gonna have Tara Reid in there for whatever reason with a, you know, with a fucking, like, you know, rip off Tarantino Robert Rodriguez fucking, like, handsaw and you know, like, and sharks the fucking tornado. It's you know, like I'm like, how fucked up are you, dude? Like, how high are you? You know how fucking high you have to get to think of a shark tornado. The you know, I've been high in my life, but like, I've never been that high. The like, that's it. I know Zach is not particularly fond of the Sharknado things.
Oh, not a fan, eh?
For me, that was when making really bad shark movies became mainstream, and all the slew of shit following it was just like, god fucking damn it. And it was also like, I looked at that movie and I go, someone funded that and I can't get funding for my stuff.
Yeah,
it's just really salty about that. I was like, cool.
The
okay.
Yeah.
Now I know how much I suck. The
Yeah, it's incredible some of the movies that get funding. Like, there's one I'm definitely going to do on the podcast called Post-Apocalyptic Shark Commando.
Is that is that the one when they're on the planet that's mostly the, like, the Earth's been kind of overtaken by the ocean, and they're on this like dry dock or whatever, and like around them is just nothing but sharks? Or am I thinking of a different one?
I think that might be Raiders of the Shark or Raiders of the Lost Shark.
Shark. Okay.
Oh, do we have?
I think so.
We have entered porn parody titles at this point. Like.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to this point where, like, there's a porn version and a shark version now.
Holy shit! You're right.
Yeah, that's so true. You just opened up like a whole world of possibilities. Like,
my god.
And oh man. Some of them I don't want to see, but some of them, like, I'd be very curious to see what they do with.
Dude, fucking, you know, Star Shark.
What would be the Cloverfield shark parody?
Oh my god. I honestly think you just do it straight up like it's Cloverfield, but it, instead of like doing a CGI monster, it's just a dude in a shitty suit and on a green screen, like old school Godzilla style, just like kicking over fucking cardboard buildings and shit. Like, that's probably what they would
do. Fucking looking like Sean Claude Van Damme in the original Predator suit that made him look like a goddamn lobster.
Yeah.
They he's
like a fucking praying mantis.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck they were thinking. They I'm like, this is insane. They fucking present.
Yeah, another movie that could have turned out like shit if they had gone with that fucking design.
Oh God, thank God that they went with the right one, which was the one that they went with.
Stan Winston.
Yeah, Stan Winston and a few ideas from James Cameron. They were on a plane flight. I don't know if you know that story. They were on the same plane together, and Stan Winston was doing the drawings, and I think that he had made a few suggestions. He's like, hey, why don't you try a little bit of the mesh? The mesh was his idea. And then I think a few other ideas, like the dreads were his idea, Cameron's. And he's like, hey, this will add just a little bit more. It was a really cool conversation between the two of them.
What the fuck happened to James Cameron? Like, who look at that. He
fuck Jesus Christ.
Okay, so I'm not the only one who was thinking that.
The masculinity is a disease, and you need to remove it from your body. You need to shut the fuck up, dude. You just sound like, dude. Like, that's a horror movie that's waiting to happen, dude. Instead of a blood vampire cult, it's a testosterone vampire cult.
Holy shit! I'm surprised no one's done that yet.
Or they have, and we haven't heard about it.
That's a good point.
Those are called snuff films. You don't want to know about those. Well, dude, he got too bloated, man. Like, you know, like, it got way too bloated. Like, it became too much about, and this is what happens when it's a, you know, you're in an echo chamber and you're getting circle jerked every 2 seconds. You know, like, you know, he's been told that would get to anybody's head. Like, you know, God, we're only fucking human, and people would, you know, jerking you off every 2 seconds of how amazing you are and what you're doing for the world, and you're such a strong environmentalist, and because you did Avatar, and you know, like, it just constantly sucking your dick. I mean, eventually you're gonna be like, oh my God, they're right. Eventually you're gonna bust a nut and have that in a post nut clarity of like, wait a minute, I probably am awesome. No, you're not. I mean, you know, you made Piranha. You're not that great. Like,
yeah, he made Piranha 2, The Spawning, with flying fucking fish.
when James Cameron made fun movies.
Yeah, dude. Like, you forgot about that motherfucker. I don't give a shit how much you tried to erase your name off the title of that movie. You still did it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was all you, buddy.
We will never forget.
Never forgive, never forget. It's one of those things, man. I think that's what the enjoyment is about some of these stupid shark movies, is because it takes the piss out of it. Like, you know, it's not that serious, man. Let's just have some fun and watch some stupid shit.
I mean, they're basically designed for you to, like, get drunk, get stoned with all your friends, and just make fun of it and just have a good time. You know, I think that's like the main point of them. Now, then there's people like me who's watching it by himself, you know, still either drunk or stoned, because I mean, good God. But
I make it a rule now that I have to have a bottle of Jack Daniels next to me every time I watch one of these movies, because otherwise I'm not getting through it.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to watch these with me. I'm the sorry bastard who's obsessed with sharks so compulsively that I see a new one and I'm like, motherfuck.
Yeah, it's like, I got to know what's happening. I got to know what it is.
Off to be disappointed.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. It's like, oh, well, this is going to be terrible, so I better strap myself in.
Well, you know, I was talking about the last guest. It's, for example, is Batman and Robin. Batman and Robin is a terrible movie. But it's brought me so much joy as a human being. It's insane. Like, you know, so much joy, like, just talking about it and making fun of it, and like, and all the funny jokes and things that have come out of it. It's a fun bonding experience. I mean, entire things have been made about The Room. Like, you know, friendships have been made, marriages have been made, I'm sure, over The Room. The shit got a bunch of it because I had hung out with a bunch of film students, and I walked through the halls, and my name is Mark, and all I would fucking hear is, oh, hi, Mark, the fucking time. It still hurts a little bit. Laughing at pain is a good thing. But yeah, there's just a strong appeal for, you know, funness of bad movies.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an opportunity to, you know, get people around and just kind of do something, because I hate trying to watch like a good movie with a group of people. You know what I mean? Like, if you're trying to watch something that you haven't seen before, like a new movie, and you're with a group of people, sometimes it kind of sucks because like people are talking over each other and shit. But like when you put a movie like Sharks of the Corn on or something, and like you're just there to have a good time. You don't care what's fucking happening. Like, you're just like, oh, what's happening now? Oh, there's sharks in a cornfield. That's fucked up.
Well, that's fucking stupid.
I remember when that movie got a trailer, my buddy ran over to my house and he's just like, look what's coming out. I'm like, oh, fuck me.
Gotta watch it.
I ordered that on Blu-ray from SRS Cinema and I got the t-shirt with it as well.
Oh my God. They came with a t-shirt.
It's amazing.
Came with a t-shirt.
It's amazing what's allowed to go eventually into Blu-ray. Like, it's truly amazing that movie made it all the way to Blu-ray.
Well, so it made it to Blu-ray, but the company that does it, SRS Cinema, if you check a lot of their Blu-rays, they're just like somebody did it on their computer kind of Blu-ray. Like, it's just a recordable Blu-ray. But like it's still legit, but yeah, it's not like they sent it to a very expensive factory, I don't think.
That's awesome. That's awesome. The Zach, totally forgot what I was gonna say.
Good one, buddy.
Anyway, so anything exciting coming up for in the realm of shark movies that you both are excited about, or any trailers that you've seen that you're like holy fuck, I gotta watch this.
Yeah. So just yesterday, I watched the trailer for Cocaine Shark.
That is going to be a real thing.
So there's already a trailer. All right.
I thought it was a funny poster.
The moment I saw the trailer for Cocaine Bear, I'm like, I fucking know what's going to happen. I know. Who's doing it? Is it Asylum?
No, it's not Asylum. So it's Mark Polonia.
That name sounds so fucking familiar.
You've probably seen a shit ton of movies he has done. He's done, he did Land Shark.
Okay.
Sharkenstein, Sharkula.
Well, I already know what to expect.
Zach's already dying on the inside.
Yeah, if you've seen all those movies, then you've probably already seen Cocaine Shark. I kind of feel like they just made a shark movie and then just like slapped Cocaine Shark on it at some point, just like, oh hey, this is going to be a big movie. Yep. So yep. Cocaine Shark, there we go, it's done.
I'll check out the trailer after this podcast and probably hate myself afterwards.
The trailer was fucking entertaining though. Like, keep your expectations low, obviously, but at least it's fucking entertaining as hell, the trailer.
Okay.
So that's definitely one I'm looking forward to. I wasn't a big fan of The Meg, the first one.
Same. Have you read the novel?
I haven't read the books.
Okay. The novel is, well, yeah, goes to fuck a figure. Way better, way different. The novel actually tries to go into the more scientific side of how a lot of this stuff would actually happen, and it's solid. It was a great book. It's one of the few books that I've actually read in my life, and it's nothing like the movie. The movie was just boring and trash as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I was a little bit excited when Eli Roth was attached to direct it, and I'm like, that could be interesting. You know, at least maybe it'll be bloody and shit. Yep. But then we get this PG-13... And I was like, oh, Jason Statham. I'm like, okay, so more actions. I can get on board with that. I can get on with this. And then it came out and it's just like such a cliche summer blockbuster movie. They're like, yeah, this will put butts in seats, but it's not going to be good.
Nope, not at all.
And also on top of
it, PG-13 is such a huge killer for a lot of shark movies out there. It's it especially the more mainstream Hollywood ones. It's just like, oh, PG-13. Why are you making a PG-13 shark movie? Sharks, when you get bit by a shark, it's fucking bloody and it's messy. There's nothing PG-13 about it, Hollywood. Get your shit together.
But he's not bitter. But he's not bitter. Also, that's just a big killer for there are a handful of exceptions, but that's just a big killer for horror movies in general. To be frankly, I mean, like, the two death nail coffins are PG-13 January release. You know it's fucking. I don't know a single horror movie that was PG-13 and was released in January that was ever good. I don't know a single one. I don't know a single one that's ever escaped that. I think Happy Death Day came out in February, which was great. That's the only one that escaped it. But no horror movie that was ever PG-13 that was released in January has ever escaped that the
the clutches of horrible mediocrity. The most poetic way I can say that.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. The PG-13 rating, and I mean, you're right. Like, there's definitely a handful that, you know, they craft it very well. Like, a more recent one was Gretel and Hansel. It's a PG-13 movie, but, like, the atmosphere and the tone of that movie is so creepy. Like, it was actually pretty well done, atmospherically wise, anyways. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like you said, the January, the PG-13, like, yeah, that's just a fucking killer. Unless you get somebody who's really competent in what they're doing and you have a strong story, then, yeah, January PG-13 horror movie, you're...
Yeah, you're done.
Mark, you'd be the one who's familiar with this. Aren't the Conjuring movies technically PG-13? No, they're just really good with their atmosphere.
No, they're rated R. It's mostly language. But honestly, I can only think of, and Zach, please correct me if I'm wrong, I can only think of three PG-13 horror movies that I can think of that have actually been good. Three.
I know I've seen a few. I just can't think of them off the top of my head right now.
The Final Girls.
I'm just not thinking about it.
The Final Girls.
That's the number one.
Happy Death Day and Happy Death Day Part 2. I enjoyed both of them.
I really like the second one too, because it was just a totally different element than the first movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I'm going to see a sequel, I want it to be different than the first one. I don't want a fucking rehash of it. And like, that's a movie where we very easily could have ended up with just a carbon copy of the first movie, but they just said fuck it and went like balls to the wall with like sci-fi, and it made like such an interesting watch. I'm just like, I feel like with like a Friday the 13th movie, I can pretty much just like pick anyone out of the pile and throw it on, and I know I'm gonna watch a Friday the 13th movie. But with something like that, like, you really kind of have to think like, dude, do I want to watch the first one or the second one? Because they're both like so fucking different from each other.
They are.
And each of them solid. Great movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do know that if I was ever in the same room as the director, and who's also the writer, and he was like, man, what the fuck am I going to do to do the third one if I do a third one? I said, it's real simple, man. She's the killer. And you have a paradox. You have a time paradox. That's the only thing you have left. That's the only card you have to play left to play when it comes to this series. Like, that's the only way you can make it full circle, is that in one of the universes she ends up being the killer and she has to run away from herself.
Yeah, and I've been hearing that he's been kind of toying with the idea of doing a third one, so I'd be curious to see what he did. I just watched his new movie, We Have a Ghost, last night.
I didn't even know he did that and everything else.
Have to check that out.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It just like it's, again, I'm pretty sure it's PG-13, but it's just a fun movie. I mean, David Harbour as a ghost and Anthony Mackie.
Oh, I like Anthony Mackie.
Didn't he also do Freaky, or was that a different guy?
Oh, yeah, I think he did Freaky
same
as well.
Same guy,
yeah.
Same guy.
So he has a great track record, so I'll definitely check this movie out. You said it was Ghost?
We Have a Ghost.
We Have a Ghost.
Nice.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's on Netflix if you have Netflix, or just there's other ways of getting it.
Freaky's definitely really good. Solid fucking opening. And it was so cool to see Vince Vaughn play something very I mean, like, I know, like, he was already heading that way because of, like Brawl and, like, was that Cell Block?
Brawl and Cell Block 13. Or, 13, 13 like, or 19. 90,
Brawl, 99. Brawl and Cell Block 99.
Yeah, yeah.
There we go.
He was already heading that way of that kind of thing, but, man, was he fucking brutal in that opening scene. They smashed that fucking girl's head with the toilet seat. He did a damn good job with making that character work. And it was even more fun watching the female actress play him when they switch bodies. That was really fun. And then also to having him like completely flip 180 characters and be a scared little teenage girl was fucking immensely entertaining.
Oh, it was so good. Like, they took like the Freaky Friday story and turned it into something like just somehow completely different and just a whole new take on it, and it was so good. Entertaining. The kills were awesome too.
Yes, they were.
This director does a really good job at that. First one was Groundhog Day Horror Edition, then it's Freaky Friday Horror Edition. What would the ghost one be? I don't know. Either way, great guy, great director, great movies. keep fucking going, man.
I'm waiting for the Parent Trap horror twist. I don't know how far they're gonna do that, but like that's one I would want to see. Like that, I think that's his,
I would watch that.
Yeah, same. That's his next yeah. card that he has to play. You know, take those like late 60s kind of movies, you know, in 70s and 80s movies and those old school ideas and see what he can do it. So I did want to ask you though about podcasting in particular. Kind of hinted at it, but when did like podcasting and this love of horror and shark movies kind of interject, you know, with each other? When did you get this whole thing kicked off?
Yeah, so this was actually like a super kind of fast process for me. I had just lost my job, and I think I mentioned earlier, like I have depression and anxiety, so that just kind of sent me into like a tailspin, and I needed something creative to do, because like I've always been like a creative person because I went to film school and everything, but I've never really had much of an outlet for it. And then one day it literally just clicked. I think I had kind of talked about the idea with a friend of mine before. I'm like, yeah, I should just do a podcast on shark movies, just kind of like offhanded comment. And then like when I was kind of in that tailspin, like I needed to do something, and I was just like, fuck it, I'm just gonna buy a microphone and just start a fucking podcast, like just bam. So I just did that, and I'm like, I don't want to do just horror or like just a certain like genre movie per se, but I'm like, I wanted something a little bit more niche, something a little bit more different, because that's generally how I've always done things. I've always just not follow the beaten path or anything. So yeah, I just decided, I picked up a fucking microphone and I just said, I'm gonna do a podcast. And then I think I did said that in October 2022, and then I released my first episode January 6th. And it's just been kind of a learning curve. So like the first few episodes, like they sound terrible, but like each one is getting better and better, because I knew if I was going to keep up with this, I just had to throw myself into it. Like just dive in head first. If it turns out shitty at first, over time, it'll get better. And that's, you know, that's kind of what's happening. So yeah, very quick process for me.
Hey, rock and roll. The, you know, what has been the biggest surprise as you've been doing these podcasts?
I think just the like horror community in general, and even podcasting community in general, have been like so friendly and like helpful with each other. You know, it's like, hey, you hop on my podcast, I'll hop on your podcast. And like just it's like we're not competing with each other, you know, and that's something I always felt like when I was in film school, like everybody was competing with each other. And I'm like, why can't we all just work together to make something like fucking awesome? Like, why do we have to compete with each other and have like combating ideas? Like, let's fucking work together, let's do something. And so I think that's kind of what I like about this. It's a little bit more free, and I'm in control. I can do whatever the fuck I want on my podcast, it's mine. You know, so yeah.
exactly. And you know what, and we've often, you know, said it's a deep irony that the horror community watches horrible, you know, things of murder and dismemberment and all this awful shit. The nice fucking people, they're so nice and welcoming. And a dear friend of ours who has another podcast had a great quote about that, which is that with the fantasy community or any other community, if you want them on their podcast, it's always, well, why? And then with the horror community, it's always, why not?
Yeah. That's absolutely true. I went to my first horror convention just last year in October, or 2 years ago in October. And I met Felissa Rose there, and she was just absolutely delightful. Like I haven't met a whole lot of celebrities in my life, but like just meeting her, and then like she was talking about going to the conventions, and she's just like, there's just something special about the horror community. Like the way that people band together, and like how everybody just gets along. She's like, I've never seen anything like it. And so like walking around the convention, like I could definitely see that. And I'm just like, God, this is so fucking cool to be a part of. It's incredible.
And it's so funny. Like, you know, where I'll invite people on the podcast, and then they thank me for inviting them. I'm like, no, man, you're doing me a favor. Yeah, you're doing us a favor. Like, you know, we need people to come on. Like, and they're like, oh my God, thank you so much. You know, I mean, like I literally like, got a message. We were doing a podcast last night, and it was already like, I don't know, we probably finished up about like 10 o'clock or so. And literally an hour later, this other girl, and she's already on the East Coast, we're in Central, she's already an hour ahead, and she messaged us, hey, thank you so much for inviting me. And I'm like, oh, of course. So like, of course we would love to, you know, to have you on. And it's just amazing of how willing and giving, you know, funny, just quick, funny story. my fiance is an artist, and she has a horror edge to her. I would say very Tim Burton kind of, you know, cutesy horror, like very digestible horror. Like stuff that you would see like a regular like suburban mom like hang up in their house during Halloween, like kind of shit, which is very, very popular.
Nice.
And you know, and I remember when she went to her first con with the intention of like talking to people, and I'm like. And like you understand, like everybody we talked to is like just more than willing of giving of information, and she wasn't sure, and I'm like just come up, you know. And we had one person that recommended another person. We walked up. This guy had a line out the door of all of his art. He stopped everything he was doing when he found out that she was an artist, and said, "Hey, like not only you know that's great and being supportive, but hey, here's what I did." Here's what you want to do. Let me get you the phone number of this guy at this con. And then this guy, well, hey, you know, what about this other guy talking to the other people in the booth? Well, hey, what about that guy? Oh, that guy doesn't do cons anymore, but like his partner took it over. Like, here's his number, like literally pulling out their phones, and they got lines out the door, but they took the time to stop and not only tell them their process, how they do it, being supportive, but also giving them contacts. You know, my fiance contacts to call to get into other cons to set up booths. And going out of their way to help people. It's truly amazing. I can't think of another community that would go out of their way to not only be nice and be supportive, but actively help another person break into the world of selling their art at these cons.
Yeah, no, that's so true. Because like I said, everywhere else, it seems like it's a competition, or like you said, it's like, oh, well, why? Why should I do this? And it's like, well, why not? Like, just do it, like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand like why other communities just can't get along like that. I do think it's funny too. Like you mentioned, you know, we watch some of the most like horrific shit that you could ever possibly imagine, and yet we're somehow more well-adjusted than some other people out there, you know?
No, I totally agree. And then I know Zach's always in support of that too. And I think this is a good point for us to go back to the question of the podcast where we wrap things up. And it is a question that I come up with in mid-podcast. Don't have any pre-planning of it. This case, we got a little bit of a break, so I was able to sneak it in a little bit. Tradition dictates, the guest has the opportunity to answer first, but they can pass if they do want a little bit more time. However, a little bit of pressure to you, sir. No one has ever passed.
Actually, yes, they have.
Has somebody passed?
Twice.
Really? I don't remember that at all. It's rare. We've done a lot of podcasts. It's still very rare. You have to remind me who helped passed. What is the most underrated shark or creature feature movie that you've ever seen and you wish more people would know about it?
Honestly, I think I'm gonna have to say Crabs. Crabs and bad CGI sharks, which I also have on a double DVD with House Shark.
Nice.
Crabs is incredible. Like, it's actually a really well done movie. It's very like reminiscent of like old kaiju films, and it's just a really fun fucking movie. I highly recommend checking it out. A lot of great people involved behind it. And again, bad CGI sharks as well. They knew exactly what they were making. It's ridiculous, but it is a whole hell of a lot of fun. Definitely one of my favorite, like, bad shark movies. That's also, like, kind of good because it's bad in a way. But, yeah, definitely those two. Crabs and bad CGI sharks.
Nice. Zach?
I want to say The Reef, but I feel like at least shark fans know of that movie. 12 Days of Terror would be a close second, because I feel like I'm the only shark fan who's heard of that movie. And then I guess this new USS Indianapolis, well, I don't know how new it is, but the USS Indianapolis movie with Nicolas Cage. Those would probably be my three, but The Reef, it's my second favorite shark movie next to Jaws. And it's just a solid shark survival movie that's supposedly based off a true story, and there's no CGI. They take stock footage of a shark and mix it together very well, so it actually looked like the shark is in the shot with the characters. They did a great job with that, by the way, because that's another thing. Great acting, great effects, and great fucking story. So Reef is number one, 12 or 13 Days of Terror, whatever it is, because that's based off the New Jersey shark attack incident, aka what Jaws was originally based off of. And then the USS Indianapolis, because that's one of the most horrifying shark attack incidents in world history. So those three movies.
The and I'm gonna cop out with the monster movie. I think it's fucking great though, is Tremors 2. The Tremors 2.
People know about Tremors 2, Mark.
They really don't, man. Like, you know, like most people would dismiss it as a bullshit sequel. The very, very quick, because obviously Tremors 1 was so famous, and they're like, you know, like the sequel's like, they're like, I'm not going to watch the sequel. It's stupid. But the sequel is fucking fantastic. And it's also a time for Bert to shine. With the exception of the absence of Kevin Bacon, overall, yeah, great fucking monster movie. And really a lot of fun. And I think a lot of people just dismiss it out of hand because it's a sequel to a really even greater movie. But I really say don't sleep on it. It's a really fun fucking movie.
Yeah, actually, as a franchise, it's kind of like any franchise where when it goes on for too long, the sequels are shit, but they're entertaining as fuck. Tremors is exactly that. I have the 7 movie collection on Blu-ray because they are just like a fucking wild ride.
Yep.
I know Zach's seen all, you know, pretty much all of them. So
I've seen all of them with the exception of, I saw the one, the last one I saw was the one where I think they went to Africa. Like the first one where it was Bert and his son, technically.
Oh, yeah. I think that was 5?
Because the one before that was the one where they went back in time, and I was a little iffy on that one.
Yeah.
That one was just like, did we really need this? Like, it's not bad, but it doesn't really do anything. Like, 1, 2, and 3, okay, there's a progression, new Tremors, cool, fun shit, 2 being amazing. Yeah. 4 just felt completely unnecessary, and 5, I was like, I'm done.
Yeah, and then 6, they go to the Antarctic, I believe. Tremors, A Cold Day in Hell, it is called.
Oh, man.
And then the last one, Tremors 7, Tremors Shrieker Island.
Oh, Jesus.
That one actually looked really good, though. Like, it was shot very nice, like the 7th one. I was like, if anything, this movie's just really nice to look at. I don't care if the story's shit. It looks really pretty, so.
There you go. All right.
It has that going for it. That's something.
There you go.
It's more than most.
True.
Yeah.
That's an excellent place to go out on. Sir, Steve, this is your opportunity to look directly into your camera and tell the good people where they can find you on all your social medias and, you know, podcast depositories, anywhere they can find you, sir.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, everything at Bucket of Chum Podcast. You can send me an email at bucketofchumpodcast@gmail.com. And podcast is available pretty much anywhere you get podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Google, Pocket Cast, all that good stuff.
Very nice, dude. Thank you so much. And I'm going to close this bad boy out. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of the Nightmares Podcast. You can find us where all podcasts are available just the same on Spotify, Anchor, Apple Music, all those great stuff, YouTube as well. And if you are watching this on YouTube, if it could be so awesome to stab that like button, smash that subscribe, and click that little dingy bell to be notified every time we drop amazing content right here at MHN. And you can find us on all of our social medias on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and
Slasher,
the application for all things horror. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time on the Nightmares Podcast. Bye, guys.